Go, Daddy. This is so quiet that I can barely hear it. China is standing in the doorway of the shed. She doesn't growl. She doesn't bark. She only stands, head cocked to one side, her forelegs locked wide, her breasts adding more bulk to her, the rest of her lost to the darkness of the shed. She's still. Let go. All I do? Daddy shoves Skeet so hard that Daddy lurches backward with the force of it, but he catches himself before falling. Skeeta stutters backward, but lands crouching, still on his feet. China darts forward. Skeeta holds the hammer like a baton. Hold! Skeeta calls. Hold! There is a wetness in his voice. China stops where she is. She's one of the flaking statues at the graveyard next to the park, an angel streaked by rain, burning bright. I wish she would, Daddy says, his arm straight as his sides. I wish she would. Skeeta edges sideways to China, lays down the hammer and puts his hand over her muzzle. She's marble under his fingers. I'd take her up country and shoot her. No. Call the county pound. Make you watch them take her away. Skeeta has his arm around China's back, tucked over and under her stomach, his hand lost somewhere in her breasts. China doesn't turn and lick him. She watches Daddy still. Skeeta rubs her chest with his other hand, smooths the fur in broad downward strokes, again and again. I'm trying to save us, Daddy says. Skeeta crouches. Y'all need to learn to appreciate me. You hear me? The night bugs answer back. Yes. Skeeta ignores Daddy, rubs China, glances back and forth between them. Put them goddamn boards back where you found them. You hear me? China's tail lowers, but her ears are still laid back down her skull like a crest of feathers. Skeeta is whispering to her, murmuring. You hear me? Daddy yells, taking a halting step toward Skeet. China's tail rises. Yes, Skeeta says. He's facing Daddy, staring at him plainly, his face smooth and open, only his mouth barely moving when he speaks. Yes. Good. Daddy steps back. Skeet leans on China to stop her from moving. Daddy turns to walk into the house. He shuffles sideways, slow and deliberate, watching Skeet and China watch him leave them to the abandoned hammer, the fallen frame, the dark expanse sounding of bug and wood and wind spreading out and away from the two of them like a bride's train. The sixth day. A steady hand. Daddy's knocking down what's left of the chicken coop. The chickens and rooster have long abandoned it. After summers of heavy rain, the wood grew soft and rotten, and then the short, knuckle-freezing winters dried it up and hollowed the woody pulp out, and it began to sag and buckle into the earth. It used to have Mama's clothesline tied to it with the other end fixed to a pine tree. After Mama died, Daddy moved the clothesline to a closer tree, but he didn't tie it tight enough. So when Randall and I wash clothes and hang them out with wooden clothespins, the line sags and our pants dangle in the dirt. Skeeta slept out in the shed with the dogs after he faced Daddy with the hammer last night. I've been sitting on the sofa near the living room window, waiting for him to come into the house, because I know he'll circle around and enter the front door to avoid passing Daddy in the back. But Skeet hasn't surfaced. He could always hold his breath the longest when we first began swimming in the pit, crouched on the silty, junk-reefed bottom. We would circle him like anxious boats, calling him to the surface, but he'd remain still and bubbling below. I take breaks and sneak cans of Vienna sausages in the bathroom, swallowing all five quickly. They're so light they could be air. I tried to read this morning, but I stopped in the quest for the golden fleece, distracted again by Medea, who can only think of Jason, her face red, her heart aflame, engulfed by sweet pain. The goddess struck her with love, and she had no choices. I couldn't concentrate. My stomach was its own animal, and thoughts of Manny kept surfacing like swimmers in my brain. I had my own tender pain. I slid my book between the wall and my bed, and slunk to the kitchen, filching Daddy's hurricane supplies. I eat, and nothing touches my stomach. Nothing tells me it's full with food, with something more than food. Thwack, 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 sounds the hammer. The wood creaks. One panel falls off. Daddy begins cussing, calling down sons of bitches, fuck thises and goddammits. I'm tired of waiting. I grab another can of sausages, stick it in the pocket of my shorts. I will go to Skeeta like Medea went to her brother when they fled on their great adventure with the Argonauts. I will offer my help. Skeeta looks like somebody's punched him in both eyes. The sound of Daddy's hammer in the shed threads through the door, and it steadily pulses like blood. China is reclined, the puppy squealing at her tits. Her head is laid on her paws, and she doesn't look up when I step over the threshold. Junior is a crow, perched on a metal drum beside the door, eating a pack of peanut butter crackers. It makes me hungry. Something's wrong, Skeeta says. He's sitting on the floor, his back against the wall. He lets his head roll back, and his Adam's apple bulges so prominently it looks like a bone. What's wrong? I say. His eyes burn like he has fever. She been too easy. Usually she let them suck and then fight them off when they done had enough, but they been sucking for almost an hour and she ain't moved. Maybe she just tired, like you said yesterday. Daddy's hammer beats at the room. That ain't it. Well, then what? I think I gave her too much. You did what Manny said. How you know Manny knew what he was doing? Rico probably showed him how. And who say Rico gonna show him the right way to do it if he know Manny gonna show me? He wouldn't do that. Who? Manny? I swallow his name. He has to be better than that. I know it. Skeeta speaks to the ceiling, his eyes wide, his elbows hanging from his knees with his hands clasped. This is his prayer. You don't know, he says. Everybody ain't always plotting against you in China, Skeet. He crawls across the floor, waves his hand in front of China's face. She follows him with her eyes, sighs so hard she raises dirt on her linoleum floor in a dusty wave. Ain't nobody said that, Esh. Skeeta puts his hand on China's neck, as careful as Mama used to take biscuits from the oven. China breathes hard again, pushes one of the puppies away from her desultorily. That's my girl. She probably just need to eat something. I can't lose her. Skeeta's bald head looks muddy from sleeping on the dirty floor of the shed. Mama's arms would look like that when she was pulling greens in the small garden plot she kept behind the house. It was fenced off with wooden slats from an old baby crib Daddy had found at the side of the road. There's danger in what Skeeta says, in even thinking China could die. Reckless to say it aloud, to call it down, to make it possible. Why don't you go take a bath? I imagine the gashes at his side, seeing them turn red with infection under Randall's old wrap. We catch boils on the pit as easily as we used to catch stray dogs, and I know enough about them to understand that they are bacterial infections. He's not going to want to go to the hospital, and Daddy isn't going to want to take him if it comes to that. Your stomach. I'm all right. He's rubbing China's head to the beat of Daddy's hammer. You need to be clean at the fight, healthy. So do she. If you hurtin', what's she going to do? This is the way to his heart, his pride. He stops petting China, lets his hand rest on the warm globe of her skull. She sighs and kicks another puppy away. The triangle of sunshine disappears and appears again on the floor, hidden by clouds and then free again. When Skeeter looks up at me, he squints. Fine. Watch her. Skeeter stands, walks to the door, shoves Junior in passing so that he almost falls off the barrel. Scab! Junior yells. And don't let Junior touch nothing. China feebly kicks at the puppies. She scoots along on her back to get away from them, and only stops twitching when her back is against the wall. The puppies make little squeaking noises, paw the air, roll helplessly on their sides. Their eyes are slivers of fingernails. There are four. The white China clone, the red one that looks like Kilo, the brindle runt, and the black and white one with patterns on the fur. They wobble away from China. I crouch in the door, my belly pushing out so that it pushes against my thighs, my knees. I pull my t-shirt away from my stomach. China eyes us all lazily and then puts her head to her paws, closes her eyes, and as far as I can tell, falls asleep. Esh? What, Junior? The puppies are flailing across the floor. Junior jumps down from his perch, lands with a thud in the dirt next to me, and crouches. They need to go back by China, he says. He lets his hands hang across his knees and dangle down. But even then, it still looks as if he's reaching out to them. They gonna get out the door. How they gonna do that with us sitting here? They got gaps. Junior brushes his hand between us. Here. Don't touch them. I pull at my t-shirt again. Junior's breath smells like peanut butter. I'm so tired. It washes through me like blinding heavy rain. China's ear twitches in her sleep. I wish she could talk. Ah, Esh. Junior leans forward on his haunches, tipping over toward the puppy slowly. I'm just gonna put them back, see? He grabs the white one by the nape, pinches it with his whole hand, and moves it a foot back so it's closer to China. She breathes sleepily. Junior looks back at me, smiling, his lips closed over his teeth, the multiple gaps, the digs of decay in the crevices. See? You do it, but quick. China's tail jerks in her sleep, and then she's still. Before she wakes up. Okay. Junior picks up the red puppy, drops it next to its sibling. His lips part over his teeth, and he's really smiling. Hurry, I whisper. I want to sleep like China. Lie down on the cool dirt of the shed. All right, he whispers. The spotted one wiggles a little in his hand, feeble and blind as an earthworm, before he sets it down. You can't touch them again, I breathe. A muscle spasms in China's side, a white sheet flapping in the wind on a clothesline. Here? Junior grabs the last puppy, the brindle runt around the belly. His thumb and middle finger touch as he grabs its ribcage. The puppy is skinny, not growing milk fat like the others. Junior brings it to his nose. This close, its fur looks like it's moving. Fleas thread their way through its downy hair. Its head falls to the side, and it yanks it back in the other direction. I'm surprised its neck is so strong when it's only a child's handful of fur and skin and bones. Here? Yeah? Junior is not moving. Put it down, I hiss. I want to slap Junior, but I know it will wake China. Junior is sniffing the puppy, and I swear that if I weren't there, he would lick it. China lets out a mewling sleep growl. God damn it! I grab the slim stick of his arm hard, dig my fingernails in, hope he can feel the fear in my hands. All right, Ish, Junior whines, pulling from me, still clutching the puppy. China kicks. Do it. I dig. I'm sweating, hot under my arms. I'm burning. Junior. All right. Junior's smile is gone. His mouth pulls tight at the corners, baring his bottom gums. That's his crying face. His back is narrow and hard as a ruler. He leans over, lets the puppy roll from his hand. It tumbles on its side, stops, and sweeps its head along the floor. Junior yanks his arm away, cradles it to his chest, and refuses to look at me. Instead, he gazes at the puppies, whispers furiously through his downturned lips.
That hurt, Ash. That really hurt.
What if Skeet had come in? What if China had woke up? My hands feel weak now that they're not gripping Junior. When he was a baby, Randall and I would pass him back and forth on the sofa, feeding him, rubbing his stomach, palming his head. Randall said that he frowned like Mama.
You made me bleed.
Junior spits on his hand, rubs it back and forth across his forearm where I've left red marks that look like winking eyes.
You didn't have to do it so hard.
You don't listen, I say. Junior never cried when he was little.
Still.
He wipes his spitty hand across his eyes. You never know, I say. China huffs in her sleep again. You know that, Junior, don't you? My hand flops in China's direction. You know her. China sleep growls again, high and sharp. I touch Junior's back, feel down the marble chain of his spine. He yanks away, still holding his arm, and looks at me, his eyes like the dark heart of an oyster. I look back at China to make sure she's asleep, make sure that her puppies aren't straying too far away, make sure that my shirt is still pulled away from my stomach. I'm tired again. Junior sits on his legs in the dirt, far enough away from me so that I can't grab him, but still next to me. I'd expected him to run under the house. I'm sorry, I say. Junior bends over and braces himself on his arms in the dirt, his butt in the air. He nods at the puppies. When he was a baby, this is how he would fall asleep on the sofa, in the bed with Randall. The puppies are swimming blindly, as if through very deep water, away from China, toward him again. I wonder if he's been sneaking into the shed when we're gone with China, whether he's already been playing with them.
Can we go to the park today? He asks.
Daddy beats the coop twice, then swears. He's hungover. He'll be mean. I peel back the top of the sausage can, take one out, and hand it to Junior. China rolls on her back to face the wall, to escape her puppies and sleep the best that she can. And I nod. Yeah, we can go. When we were younger and Mama had to get us up in the morning for school, she would touch us on our backs first. And when she felt us twitch under her hands, felt us move toward morning, she would softly tell us to wake up, that it was time for school. When she died and Daddy had to wake us up, he wouldn't touch us. He'd knock on the wall next to our door hard, shout, "Wake up!" When Skeeta comes back out to the shed in a black wife beater and jean shorts, he's already sweating. He wakes China like Mama used to wake us. The puppies roll away from him. He puts them in a larger box where they scuffle and scratch unseen. She needs to get up, Skeet says. When we tell him that we're walking to the park, he's resolved. She needs to work it out. Skeeta puts her on a leash and then picks her up, slinging her over one shoulder. Her hind legs tangle in his thighs and make it hard for him to walk. He hasn't done this since she was a puppy. Then she would smile over his shoulder, licking the salt from his ear and neck. Now she frowns, her eyes half closed, nodding to sleep. A thin line of spit stretches to his back. Skeeta hoists her up again and again, and it's only when we've rounded the house, circled an old tub, the husk of a car I never remember seeing run, and jumped the ditch to the ragged asphalt road does he set her down. Pines sway on both sides with a sudden wind, and China lists with them. She's shaking. Her white hair dusts Skeeta's shoulders, which look hard. He's frowning. He yanks at her leash. Come on. Junior bumps me in the side.
I'll be right back,
Junior says, and then he's running away toward the house. China looks desultorily after him. Skeeta yanks her leash again and begins walking. She drags herself into motion, pads after him. The chain pulls at her ears, circles her head like a garrote. Skeeta walks leaning forward and doesn't look back. A hawk circles over our heads, riding a draft. It glides down in a spiral and then flaps off and vanishes in the feathery tops of the trees. Our house is the color of rust, nearly invisible under the oaks and behind the rubbish, lopsided. The cement bricks it sits on are the color of sand. I follow Skeeta, who's walking so quickly his figure dwindles in the high, hot day. I expect Junior to come back with a ball, but then I hear the grab and grind of bike tires, and he's peeling down the road, standing up. The dull black bike wobbles from side to side with each pedal. It's too small even for Junior to ride. When he swerves next to me, I realize it has no seat. This is why he's standing. I laugh.
Where did you get that from?
Found it,
Junior huffs. His smile is more like an exhale, and then he's huffing again, wheeling away from me to ride circles around Skeeta. Where China would have usually chased anyone on a bike, she saunters, head down, and ignores Junior. Skeeta ignores her in turn, walking straight ahead, his back curved, his silhouette one tense, worried line. The leash remains taut. I run to catch up with them. As we walk into the center of Bois Sauvage, away from our pit, the houses appear gradually, hidden behind trees, closer to one another, until there are only ragged lots of woods separating them. We walk past Big Henry's incongruously narrow shotgun house, Marquise's small pink house, which has only three windows and sits in a yard so clustered with azalea, seems like one more faded flower. Rich boy Franco's house is green, and for some reason, someone in his family has painted the bottom 2 feet of the tree's trunks in his yard white. Some older boys named Joshua and Christophe have a blue-gray house with a screened-in porch along the side, with bougainvillea grown to riot under the oaks in the yard. And then there's Mudder Mam's yellow house, faded to tan, choked with wisteria. Manny's trailer is on the other side of Bois Sauvage, away from this side of the neighborhood. The small Catholic church, the haphazard cemetery Skeeta mowed, the country park with a dirt parking lot, which strives to impose some order, some civility to Bois. It fails. The woods muddle the park's edges. Mimosa trees arch over it with the basketball player's long, graceful arms and drop pink flowers like balls. Pines sprout up in the ditches along the edge of the park, aside the netless basketball goals, under the piecemeal shade of the gap-toothed wooden play structure, sinking into the earth, beside the stone picnic tables with their corners worn smooth by rain, even in the middle of the baseball field overgrown with grass. Maintenance workers, usually county convicts in green and white striped jumpsuits, come out once a year and half-heartedly try to trim back the encroaching wood, mow the grass set to bloom, the pine seedlings. The wild things of Bois Sauvage ignore them. We are left to seed another year. Junior whoops away from me, the rubber of his underinflated tires sounding like a saw grinding through a stump. He swoops down in the ditch and upward, his bike sailing for a moment in the air before he lands, with a jolt so jarring it almost pinions him to the non-seat. He glances back and crows in pride, and then fishtails into the park. Skeeta still resolutely drags China, whose tail and head hang low in shame. He doesn't follow Junior into the park toward the basketball goals where people are playing.
What you doing?
I'm making her walk it out.
Y'all done already walked damn near 2 miles to the park. You don't think she sweated it out yet?
No.
Skeeta snaps China's chain and sets off at a trot, away from me and toward the graveyard. The heat is a wet blue blanket. I turn, follow Junior toward the court. Under the trees in the small, warped wooden bleachers, there are people sitting. I see long, dark shadows framing their faces. Long, glistening legs, crossed at the thigh. Small shorts. Two girls. Clouds trail the sun, and there are clear faces. Shalia. Her cousin Felicia. I stop where I am, on the periphery of the court, opposite the shade under the oak tree and the bleachers, and I sit ungracefully in the grass. It feels like falling. Manny's on the court, spinning, unfurling like a streamer to fling the ball into the basket. I wonder if she can tell his injury like I can. See it in the way his arm snaps back down after he lays up the ball too fast, as if he can't extend it far enough. I wonder if she notices the way he swings his arm back and forth across his chest when he runs, as if he still holds hope that he can work past the rip, heal it, make his body as seamless and perfect as it used to be. I wonder if she notices that he favors it during sex, that he places most of his weight to his left so that he's always at my right ear, breathing. An ant crawls over the bone of my ankle, smelling it with its antennae. I wave it away into the spiky grass. Sweat has bloomed on my shirt between my breasts, which throb gently. They always hurt now. My skin feels like the darkness of it is pulling heat, so I can't help but glance toward the shade. See the bit of metal that Shalia wears on her arm catch the sun through the tree and throw it back gold. I will not sit there. Big Henry, Marquise, Javon, Franco, Bone, and Randall are all on the court. They breathe in sobs, cut curses. All shirtless, except for Big Henry, they elbow each other. Fall and let the concrete peel the skin of their hands, their knees, their elbows away like petals. There's an open-mouthed excitement on their faces, the same kind of look that Skeeta has when he's wrapping China's chain around his fist, pulling it so that it indents into his skin, when he says, "Watch 'em, watch 'em, get!" It's the same kind of face that most of them have when they're fucking. Under the oak, Shalia waves at her face with a candy box, fanning. She rubs one arm and then the other, and flips her hand as if she's flinging off the sweat she finds there. She's calm and self-possessed as a house cat. It's the way that all girls who know only one boy move. Centered, as if the love that boy feels for them anchors them deep as a tree's roots, holds them still as the oaks, which don't uproot in hurricane wind. Love as certainty. It is the way I imagine China feels, even as I look back and see Skeeta running the perimeter of the baseball field, the leash still taut. Manny calls a timeout, walks over to the goal nearest me, his eyes closed, his breath catching. He leans on the pole, stretches his arm, pulls back with his hips. Randall stares out at the road, his hands locked behind his head, at Skeeta and China running in the distance. Manny waves his arms in wide arcs, stretching out the muscles in them, eyeing the sidelines, and when he sees me sitting in the grass, feet away from him, his mouth twists.
Come on,
Manny yells. The game begins again, and Manny is like China when she's beset by mites in her ear. She runs in circles, chasing her tail, lashing her head against bushes, hoping to shake them out, until Skeeta clasps her between his knees, holds her head, and treats them. Manny runs like that up and down the court, weaving through Big Henry and Marquise for layups. He pulls up for jump shots on Randall, who inevitably slaps them away and out of the court. And even though Manny's shots begin falling short because of his bad arm, he still shoots, ignoring Frankel's calls for passes. The look on Manny's face becomes China's the first time she caught the ear mites. She was still half grown, still short in the torso and long in the leg. When the ear mites became more agitated in the heat and began biting her frantically in her ear, she turned to the last stray dog of Junior's, black and brown and missing an ear, and she tore the other ear off. Bone passes Manny the ball, and Manny catches it, wincing at the pull in his arm, and he rushes Big Henry under the goal, even though Bone is the other big man inside, and even though Big Henry's easily half a foot taller than Manny and twice as big. Big Henry locks his knees, and they both fall. They slide across the concrete.
This ain't football, Marquise squeaks.
Foul,
Manny yells, jumping to his feet.
What the hell you talking about?
Big Henry asks, bewildered, picking himself up by his toes and fingertips.
Just play, Randall says.
He waves his arm out toward the road, to where Skeeta has disappeared in the distance.
Let's just fucking play.
He puts his hand on Manny, who is on his toes before Big Henry, and with a squeeze to Manny's shoulder, he is Skeeta to China. Manny calms. The pace is slower, and when he calls his last time out, he rests on the pole opposite Shalia. He waves his fingers and she laughs. The game fades away to a lazy, trickling finish, which is Randall pulling up from half court and sinking the ball with a three-pointer. Marquise trots to the water spigot, Franco behind him. Randall lets the ball roll to a stop in the grass and walks over to me before putting his hands on his knees. Sweat drips from him like water, and he's winded as a horse. Big Henry alights in the grass next to me, graceful as a heron, and then falls back and throws his arms over his eyes because the sun surfaces from behind the clouds and blinds us.
Good game, Randall says. Thanks,
Big Henry breathes.
What the hell is Skeet doing?
Randall spits sweat when he speaks. Manny's walking over toward the bleachers, toward Shalia. Running China?
I see that. But what for?
He wormed her yesterday, and he say she's sick today.
Yeah?
I think he afraid he gave her too much. Randall screws his mouth up like he's eating a sour scuppadine. He's chewing the pink inside of his cheek.
What can he do?
It's a statement. I shrug and look under the bleachers. Shalia must have bought Manny a sports drink, because he's standing under the oak and tilting the bottle back so that the liquid runs down straight into his throat. The sun is shimmering through the oak leaves and catching his skin, so his whole body shines, fractured as the glass scar on his face.
What? What can he do?
This time Randall asks it as a question.
Nothing,
Big Henry says. His arms are flung out at his sides. He's looking at me. He's not really fat, but the bigness of him is all over. His hands like baseball mitts. His head like a melon. His chest like a steel drum barbecue pit. His legs like branches reaching from an indomitable trunk.
Can't do nothing,
Big Henry says. I feel like he can see through my shirt to my swollen breasts, my stomach that pouches just too far when I sit so that it's more than fat. He grins, tentative and gentle as he moves, but it's like an afterthought.
Well, shit.
Randall folds himself in half and wipes his face on his basketball shorts.
Shit. You ready for the summer league game tomorrow?
Yeah.
Randall's voice is muffled in his shorts. The cloth makes it quaver.
They're gonna pay for basketball camp this year?
Don't know.
Coach say it's between me and Bodine.
Nervous?
They only choose one, and I score 2 to Bodine's 1 every game. I work harder than him. You already imagining all them scouts at the camp, ain't you?
Big Henry laughs.
Figure I look best in a black jersey.
Randall leans back and cradles his skull in his hands.
Or baby blue.
Randall smiles. But I know that a part of him is serious, that he already knows what college he wants to go to. Big Henry pushes himself up off his elbows. Manny sits down next to Shalia on the bleachers, leans over to her, rubs his sweaty shoulders into hers. She squeals and tries to jump up, but he clutches her to him. She squirms and squeals again, laughing. The sun is bearing down on me, burning, evaporating the sweat, water, and blood for me to leave my skin, my desiccated organs, my brittle bones, my raisin of a body. If I could, I would reach inside of me and pull out my heart and that tiny wet seed that will become the baby. Let them go first, so the rest won't hurt so much.
That grass gonna make you itch.
I know, Randall says. He stretches the waistband of his shorts.
Water.
He walks to the spigot across the grass, and he's fluid and tall and black.
I know you hot out here.
Big Henry touches the back of my hand with his 2 fingers, presses.
Yeah.
Manny's rubbing the sweat from his forehead into Shalia's cheek. Her squeal becomes a shriek. Her teeth are so white.
You want to come sit in my car? It's parked in the shade. Windows down.
Big Henry glances over at the bleachers and then rolls to his side and stands in 1 quick motion. Sometimes I forget he was an athlete.
Okay.
The clouds are slower now, hang off in the distance above the tree line as if they're wary of the sun.
Okay.
I look at the ground when I rise, when I turn away from the court. When I walk, barely resisting the urge to look back. I don't even see when Junior barrels up next to me, whooping, swerving at me on his bike. He's laughing. Under the trees in the dirt parking lot, Javon is parked. His car gleams like the approaching sunset. Marquise is leaning on his bumper. Randall runs over behind us, reclines on Big Henry's hood and the front windshield, so that his wet back looks like pudding. Inside the car, Big Henry and I sit with the doors open, 1 leg out, heads back. Big Henry plays outcast. Randall makes jokes and Big Henry laughs. When the sun rests on the rim of the trees, we leave, and Manny is on the court now with his girl. They're playing a game of 1-on-1, and he's taunting her, knocking the ball out of her hand so that it ricochets across the court. Her laughter carries on the softening pink wind. Big Henry closes his door. I slam mine, and Randall scoots over to the passenger side of the windshield. Junior holds the top of the door, still standing on his bike, and Big Henry folds his big paw over Junior's. Big Henry taps the gas and then eases, and this is how we follow Skeeta in China, who are both running now, both sucking dark and blazing bright under the setting sun and the scudding clouds, all the way home. The puppies are whining for milk. They've been listening to Daddy hammering at the coop, dismantling it nail by board into the pine-black evening. They writhe against each other. Skeeta lifts them out one by one by their necks, sets them on the floor before China, who's still nosing the ground. He's not taken off her chain yet, so it pools in the dirt next to her, as heavy and sharp as a bike chain. She breathes through her mouth, but something wet seems to catch at the back of her throat with each exhale. She nods with each breath. Her legs are still, but the sweat Skeeta worked up on her catches the red dust on her coat, channels it so that it runs down her back like watercolor paint. Under the bulb, my arms seem blacker, seem dirtier than I've ever seen them. I pull my hair back, tie it by taking a tendril of hair from the bottom and knotting it around the rest. I want it out of my face. Mama was wrong. I have no glory. I have nothing.
Randall! Daddy yells.
It's strange to hear the night without his hammering.
Yeah? Randall says from the doorway of the shed.
Big Henry is beside him. Junior is clinging to Randall's back, grasping at his shoulders, his biceps, losing his grip and sliding with the sweat. Skeeta looks toward the door, shakes his head at Daddy's call, China's chain slack in his hands. She looks as if she's eating the earth.
Come here!
Randall sighs, grabs Junior's forearms while he bends over and hoists him back up.
Yeah, yeah.
I slide into his place in the doorway next to Big Henry so I can see everything. Junior is licking his fingers as Randall walks, swiping them in Randall's ears.
I told you to stop.
Randall rubs his ears, but I know he can't get the wet out.
I'm gonna put you down.
No, Randall, please.
Well, then stop. That shit is so nasty.
Randall stops, links his long arms into a seat under Junior's butt, and hoists again.
What?
Daddy has only knocked down one of the chicken coop's walls. The chickens wander drunken and bewildered around his feet, seemingly mystified that he's dismantling their house, even though they haven't roosted in it in years. In the half-light from the bulb from the shed and Daddy's headlights, they look black. Daddy lets his hammer fall, and the chickens scatter, fluttering away like leaves in a wind.
The storm has a name now. Like the worst, she's a woman. Katrina.
There's another storm? Randall asks.
What you think I've been talking about? I knew it was coming.
Daddy says. Like the worst, I repeat. A woman. He shakes his head, frowns at the coop.
We gonna try something.
What?
I want you to get on my tractor, and I'm gonna direct you to this wall right here.
Daddy points at the longer wall.
And we gonna knock this damn thing over.
Randall hoists again. Junior's face rests on Randall's shoulder.
I can't drive that thing. All you gotta do is put it in gear and press the gas. You know how to steer.
We gotta do it in the dark? Daddy steps to the side, and I can see his head barely coming up over Randall's shoulder. His face says he's smiling, but his voice says he's not.
What you mean we gotta do it at night? That depression out in the Gulf done become a hurricane. We ain't got enough wood to board the windows up, and you gonna sit here and ask me why we gotta do this at night?
Randall is silent. Junior is sliding again.
She headed toward Florida. She come up slant ways, and who you think she gonna hit?
Florida, Randall sighs. Don't they usually fade out after they hit? Randall doesn't hoist Junior, who was trying to clutch at Randall's waist with his feet. Junior is losing. Junior's chin disappears behind Randall's shoulder,
and his head sinks to Randall's shoulder blades. All's I'm saying is you could drive it better than me.
I know I can.
Daddy waves away the compliment. Usually when Randall gives them, they work.
But I can't see to get it at the right angle. If you do it, I can tell you how to hit it so that the whole thing comes down at once.
Junior's feet are at Randall's knees. Junior comes down in the dirt and barely catches himself. I want to call him back to the shed because I know he's getting on Daddy's nerves and will only make Daddy worse, but I don't. He is the Patroclus to Randall's Achilles tonight.
Come on.
Daddy walks into the darkness without waiting to see if Randall follows. Randall rounds the corner with his hands linked behind his neck, shaking his head. Junior shadows him. Skeeter releases China from her chain and then loops the metal around and around his forearm and shoulder until it's a solid silver wing. China pads to her corner, flops down all at once instead of her usual graceful sitting first, the gentle roll into her flank, her side. She lays her head on the linoleum that Skeeter must have swept clean because she doesn't raise dust. Skeeter walks toward the door, lays the chain on the oil drum, arranges it just so, lingers over the links. He can't bear to look at her.
You think that did it?
Big Henry asks.
I don't know, Skeeter says.
Maybe she just tired, I say to them, because I hope the words will pull Skeeter's brow smooth, untangle the yarn-knotted furrow of it. Hope that they will make him stop looking at his hands. Big Henry shifts from foot to foot, leans on the door jamb. When he moves, the locusts and cicadas and grasshoppers sound loud, disgruntled.
You ran her for a while.
Yeah. Skeeter plays with the lynx the way he used to play with liver, with oatmeal, with beets from the can shaped like tubes of cranberry sauce. This was before he grew older. Before his knees gained muscle and his shoulders knotted, and he began shoveling food, lima beans or mushrooms or chitlins, as if he didn't care what he ate anymore.
And she's still nursing. She probably just tired.
Daddy's tractor growls from the darkness, bullies the insects. It rolls over branches, discarded plastic garbage cans, detached fenders. They crack and break. Daddy leaves splinters. Randall and Junior follow in its wake, stumbling through the detritus. Skeeter shakes his head.
He's gonna have them out there all goddamn night.
Skeeter grabs China's bowl from where he has secreted it high on the shelf. It's so high, he has to stand on his toes. Randall or Big Henry could have grabbed it without even reaching. Daddy leaves the tractor running and swings one leg over and is down. Skeeter pours China's food, sets it on top of the drum.
Hold on.
Big Henry moves to let Skeeter walk out of the doorway, and then he smiles at me. The moon shines like a fluorescent bulb behind his head. A piping wind blows, and where my hair escapes and touches my face, it feels like a spider's web unanchored, adrift. Randall climbs up the tractor and sits. Junior hoists himself up and begins scaling the metal.
What you doing?
Daddy asks Junior. Helping Randall?
No, you're not. Get down.
I won't be in the way.
Get down.
Please?
I said no.
Randall scoots forward on the seat, motions behind him.
He can sit behind me. He won't be in the way.
Junior's leaning back to please Daddy, to make him think that he's on the verge of obeying, of jumping off. But still, he grips the seat with his hands, and he doesn't step down.
Please, Daddy.
Daddy clears his throat and spits. His t-shirt has a gaping hole at the neck, and it's uneven at the hem, as if someone has been pulling at it.
Hurry up,
Daddy says. Daddy waves Junior up to the tractor, and Junior climbs up, slides behind Randall, wraps his arms around Randall's waist with the expectant look of a child on a carousel ride. Skeeter bangs out the back of the door of the house with a cup of something in his hand. Moths flit about his head like must ash. He walks by, and I smell bacon drippings.
"She has to eat," Skeeter says, as he dribbles the drippings, the color of pine sap, over China's dried food.
China looks at him, then away. He slides the bowl toward her, but she ignores him. His eyes are a darkness in his face.
"Come on."
China grimaces at him, a showing of tooth and red gum. The puppies are twitching toward her over the linoleum, as if they smell the milk through her breasts, through the pink meat of her. Her nipples look like chewed up gum.
"Come on!"
Daddy waves the tractor forward.
"This is a corner, right here."
"All right," Skeeter breathes, heedless of the creeping puppies as he pushes China's bowl so close to her that she could lay her head down in it. The lines between Skeet's muscles looked filled in with charcoal.
"All right," Daddy yells. "Now keep coming straight forward, right there."
Randall guns the tractor and it surges forward. Junior's head snaps back, but he hangs on. There's a crack of wood and then a metal whine as Randall presses the gas again and the tractor jerks forward.
"Hold it! You got chicken wire stuck in the grill."
Daddy tugs at the wire, pulls at the grill and hood. He yanks, leans forward so far he almost puts his face in the grill, detangles, and then he begins pulling at the wire again. Randall is still.
"Do it,"
Skeeter commands China. China's ears are flat as plastic knives laid on her head, and her mouth is wet and pink as uncooked chicken, except here the bone shows. She's quivering, her muscles beset with a multitude of ticks. She's shaking all over, now eye to eye with Skeeter, seemingly ignoring the dirt-red puppy rounding her bowl, waddling for milk. He's the one that's a model of the father, of Kilo. He's the fattest, the most well-fed, the bully. Turgid with the promise of living. When their eyes eventually open, I think that his will be the first. The tractor idles and the engine turns, sounds as if it's going to move.
"Don't do it!"
Daddy yells against his tugging, but his grunts eat the don't. And I don't know what Randall hears, but he lets up on the brake and slips it in gear, and the tractor eases forward.
"Stop!"
Daddy yells. He's pulling back, his hand clenched in the wire. And he twists so hard, his arm looks long and ropey. The red puppy creeps forward, rounds China's bowl, noses her tit. China is rolling, rising. The rumble of the tractor is her growl. Her toes are pointed, her head raised. Skeeter falls back. The red puppy undulates toward her, a fat mite. China snaps forward, closes her jaw around the puppy's neck as she does when she carries him. But there's no gentleness in it. She is all white eyes. She's chewing. She's whipping him through the air like a tire eaten too short for Skeeter to grab.
"Stop!" Skeeter yells. "Stop!"
Randall puts the tractor in gear, switches it to park. But the small hillock the coop is on pulls the tractor back as the engine idles.
"No!"
Daddy calls. Daddy flings his hand free. There's oil on it. He holds to his chest. His shirt is covered in oil. Daddy's jaw is slack. He's walking toward the light of the shed. The oil on his t-shirt turns red. The sound coming out of his mouth is like growling.
"No!"
Skeeter calls. The blood on Daddy's shirt is the same color as the pulpy puppy in China's mouth. China flings it away from her. It thuds on the tin and slides. Randall comes running. Big Henry kneels with Daddy in the dirt, where what was Daddy's middle, ring, and pinky finger on his left hand are sheared off clean as fallen tree trunks. The meat of his fingers is red and wet as China's lips. Skeeta kneels in the dirt, feeling for the mutilated puppy. He knocks into metal drums and toolboxes and old chainsaws with his head and his shoulders.
Why did you?
Skeeta wails.
Why?
Daddy breathes to Randall and Big Henry standing over him, the blood sluicing down his forearm. They're gripping Daddy's wrist, trying to stop the bleeding. Skeeta is punching the metal he meets. China is bloody-mouthed and bright-eyed as Medea. If she could speak, this is what I would ask her. Is this what motherhood is? The seventh day. Game dogs and game men. There were too many of us in the car on the way to the hospital. Daddy, with his hand wrapped in a red blooming towel, sat in the front seat. Big Henry drove. Junior and Randall and I sat in the back seat, the smell of blood like the gulf when the tide's low. That and the smell of dog, like China was in the middle of the driver's seat, licking her whiskers with her bloody tongue, nosing the absent Skeet. Daddy sounded like a larger version of the puppies, his breathing whining in and out. I wondered if he noticed it through the pain. His neck was stringing in long like a cooked turkey's. We took the back way to the hospital, through the miles of woods, lonely houses like possums in the dark, half caught and then left behind by the headlights. Junior let me hold his hand. When we arrived at the hospital, Randall and Big Henry half-dragged, half-carried Daddy through the doors to orderlies who were standing there as if they were waiting for us, and they put him in a wheelchair. We sat in the lobby. The orderlies wheeled Daddy next to us. They left us to whisper with the night admitting nurse, who rose from behind her desk, her scrubs pink with red hearts on them, wearing red Crocs, carrying a clipboard. Daddy bent over in the wheelchair, and the blood ran like a starving stream down his thigh, soaked into the seat, and the nurse began to ask questions and looked at Daddy as he sat up, his head rolling back, and saw his hand. The nurse had a gap between her two front teeth like Mama. She tucked the clipboard under her arm, grabbed the handles, asked Daddy's name. Randall answered as she wheeled Daddy away and followed. Junior fell asleep sitting upright in his chair and sagged over on Big Henry, who sat slumped over, his elbows on his knees, trying to rub the blood off his hands. It pinked and spread over his skin like a jellyfish. A white couple sat three chairs down from us. The man was bald with wispy hairs like dandelion fluff around his ears, and the woman had red hair that stood up in a curly thin afro, the way that older white women's hair often does. Their clothes were clean and faded along the ironed edges. Every few minutes, the woman would rub the gold crucifix at her chest, and the man would take off his silver-framed bifocals and polish them. They studied the receptionist station the whole time we were there and never looked over to Big Henry and his hands, Junior's feet that kicked in his sleep as if he were dreaming of falling, and me. I wondered who they were waiting on, but I never found out, because a nurse came for them and they disappeared. The waiting room was scrubbed clean and pale. It smelled of pine saw, coffee, and weariness. When Randall and Daddy walked out of the long hall, it was 3 o'clock in the morning. Randall looked older than Daddy under the lights, and Daddy's eyes were glazed as if he was drunk, clear and shiny as the glass water jugs I'd filled. But he wasn't mean. He shuffled along next to Randall, his hand wrapped up to the wrist in gauze and tape, so that it looked like a webworm moth nest wound tight in a pecan tree, a yarn of larvae eating at the ripe green leaves beneath to burst forth in black-winged flurry in the throat-closing heat of fall. Only Daddy's hand would not emerge whole and quivering. Daddy's hand would not be the moth's, but the bare branches, like bones left under the husk. Now Daddy sleeps. He hasn't slept this late since the week after Mama died, when I found him at the table, On the sofa, beside the sink in the bathroom, in the hallway, his torso over the threshold, his legs out. Cans and bottles, mostly beer, lay about.